She might have taught him not to fear the night, for plainly she had no fear of it herself. But then, when the day came, she did seem frightened. Why was that, seeing there was nothing to be afraid of then? Perhaps one so much at home in the darkness was correspondingly afraid of the light. Then his selfish joy at the rising of the sun, blinding him to her condition, had made him behave to her, in ill return for her kindness, as cruelly as Watho behaved to him. How sweet and dear and lovely she was! If there were wild beasts that came out only at night and were afraid of the light, why should there not be girls, too, made the same way, who could not endure the light as he could not bear the darkness? If only he could find her again! Ah, how differently he would behave to her! But alas, perhaps the sun had killed her, melted her, burned her up, dried her up. That was it, if she was the nymph of the river. Chapter 17. Watho's Wolf. From that dreadful morning, Nyteris had never got to be herself again. The sudden light had been almost death to her, and now she lay in the dark with a memory of a terrible sharpness, a something she dared scarcely recall, lest the very thought of it should sting her beyond endurance. But this was as nothing to the pain which the recollection of the rudeness of the shining creature whom she had nursed through his fear caused her. For the moment his suffering passed over to her, and he was free, the first use he made of his returning strength had been to scorn her. She wondered and wondered. It was all beyond her comprehension. Before long, Watho was plotting evil against her. The witch was like a sick child, weary of his toy. She would pull her to pieces and see how she liked it. She would set her in the sun and see her die, like a jelly from the salt ocean cast out on a hot rock. It would be a sight to soothe her wolf pain. One day, therefore, a little before noon, while Nyteris was in her deepest sleep, she had a darkened litter brought to the door, and in that she made two of her men carry her to the plain above. There they took her out, laid her on the grass, and left her. Watho watched it all from the top of her high tower, through her telescope, and scarcely was Nyteris left when she saw her sit up, and the same moment cast herself down again with her face to the ground. "She'll have a sunstroke," said Watho, "and that'll be the end of her." Presently, tormented by a fly, a huge humped buffalo with a great shaggy mane came galloping along, straight for where she lay. At the sight of the thing on the grass, he started, swerved yards aside, stopped dead, and then came slowly up, looking malicious. Nyteris lay quite still and never even saw the animal. "Now she'll be trodden to death," said Watho. "That's the way those creatures do." When the buffalo reached her, he sniffed at her all over and went away. Then came back and sniffed again. Then all at once went off as if a demon had him by the tail. Next came a new, a more dangerous animal still, and did much the same. Then a gaunt wild boar. But no creature hurt her, and Watho was angry with the whole creation. At length, in the shade of her hair, the blue eyes of Nyteris began to come to themselves a little, and the first thing they saw was a comfort. I have told already how she knew the night daisies, each a sharp-pointed little cone with a red tip, and when she had parted the rays of one of them, with trembling fingers, for she was afraid she was dreadfully rude, and perhaps was hurting it, but she did want, she said to herself, to see what secret it carried so carefully hidden, and she found its golden heart. But now, right under her eyes, inside the veil of her hair, in the sweet twilight of whose blackness she could see it perfectly, stood a daisy, with its red tip opened wide into a carmine ring, displaying its heart of gold on a platter of silver. She did not at first recognize it as one of those cones come awake, but a moment's notice revealed what it was. Who, then, could have been so cruel to the lovely little creature as to force it open like that, and spread it heart bare to the terrible death-lamp? Whoever it was, it must be the same that had thrown her out there to be burned to death in its fire. But she had her hair, and could hang her head and make a small sweet night of her own about her. She tried to bend the daisy down and away from the sun, and make its petals hang about it like her hair, but she could not. Alas, it was burned and dead already. She did not know that it could not yield to her gentle force, because it was drinking life with all the eagerness of life from what she called the death-lamp. Oh, how the lamp burned her!